Hey guys, it's Vinny B. Raider Nation In the Huddle is all about giving our fans the best opportunities in life. TAT is a new product that allows smokers to enjoy the sensations of smoking with zero tobacco and zero nicotine content. Finally, a cigarette you could feel good about, similar to Raider Nation rituals of winning championships. TAT offers the beyond nicotine experience with its beyond tobacco-based material in taste, smell, touch, sight, and sound without nicotine or tobacco. TAT offers a better option to completely remove nicotine intake without compromising the smoking experience. TAT, beyond tobacco. Raider Nation, get your free pack of TAT today at TriTAT.com.
Broadcasting live from the RNR studios in Las Vegas, Nevada, it's the premier destination for an inside look into the Las Vegas Raiders. You're in the Huddle with Vinny Bonsignor, presented by Tequila Embajador.
Yeah, we came in, and let's go back a little bit here. In 2019, when I got here, I mean, we talked a lot about foundation players and high-character players. And the 2019 draft class, I mean, just off the top of my head, it was Clay Farrell, Josh Jacobs, John Abram, Mullen in the second round, Crosby and Foster Moreau in the fourth round, Hunter Renfrow in the fifth round. We had Alec Ingold as a free agent, A.J. Cole, our punter. So just kind of mentally clipping down that list, there are eight or nine starters there. And even more importantly, every single one of them is a high-character guy that has been good in the community, great in our locker room. And it's if you talk to some of the veterans in our locker room that have been with other teams, they point to that group of guys as the core, the young core of players that's going to help the Raiders get to the next level. Good football players. You can argue all you want about what you expected out of some of them. Some of them may have underperformed. Some of them may have overperformed. But the bottom line is we've got a really good group of young core veterans that are excited about being Raiders. That's the 19 class. The 20 class, you're right on target. We had seven picks. We're down to three. Bryan Edwards in the third round, Simpson, and Amik Robinson in the fourth round. And obviously, we just lost Ruggs and Arnett, our two first-round picks, in a period of 7 days. So am I sick to my stomach right now on a lot of levels? Yes. I mentioned we found the risk acceptable after doing more homework on Arnett than anybody we've done in the years I've been here. And obviously, we missed. And that is 100% on me. The 21 class at this point, you know, we had seven guys. Jimmy Morrissey was on the practice squad. He got poached by Houston. And Leatherwood, Mary gets safety, and Hobbs are all starting. Gillespie and Diablo have become really important special teams guys and are going to become good players. And you're going to see more Malcolm Kuntz coming up. So this class, 21, it's early. It's way early. But we feel really good about them both as football players and people. So I understand the perception from the outside looking in because of this past week. I get it. I understand it. But we couldn't feel further than that perception. We think the truth is we got a good young core. I love the way Coach Bisaccia is working with these kids. They're all buying in. We had a bad day yesterday. But I can't wait to see how we get challenged this week, how we challenge these players, and we come out and play against Kansas City.
That's Raiders General Manager Mike Mayock talking today about the release of Damon Arnett. We're going to get into that. And then also, you know, generally speaking about what was a disastrous 2020 draft. And Mike doesn't run from it. He doesn't hide from it. He owns it. It was a swing and a miss on a colossal level. And I agree with him in, you know, I agree with him in how he categorizes it. I agree with him in how he takes the blame. And I agree with him in terms of what the blame should be. They overthought it a little bit. They felt like they put enough into Damon Arnett's past and red flags to create a comfort level, but it was false hope No question about it. He should not have even been, he shouldn't have been on their draft board in the first round, period. They kind of talked themselves into, we'll be able to get him in here. We feel pretty good about it, that he's moving in the right direction. We're going to get him in our culture, in our locker room, and everything's going to work out. And it burnt them big time. But I also agree with him wholeheartedly on the 2019 class. I've been talking about the 2019 draft class for a while now. Having gotten to know them, having covered those players, I felt like, and I've written about it, and I've talked about it, that's the foundation of this Raiders football team. Yes, Derek Carr is the face of the franchise. There's no question what Yannick Ngakoue has brought to the table. Casey Hayward, Denzel Perryman, those are great veteran additions to a young core that I felt was starting to grow up and assume a lot of control in that locker room in terms of the leadership and maturing. And I think the 2019 class is a good, strong class. You want to argue about Clelin Ferrell? Great. Argue about Clelin Ferrell. It hasn't panned out for Clelin Ferrell. The good news is they went out and got a defensive player of the year candidate in Max Crosby. So that kind of evened itself out. You'd love to have Max Crosby and a dominant player at number four, but it didn't happen that way. And it doesn't always happen that way. I always tell the story about the Rams drafting Aaron Donald. Well, that was with the 13th pick overall. The second pick overall was this offensive tackle by the name of Greg Robinson, who was a complete bust. It doesn't always work out the way you think it's going to work out. Greg Robinson, the Rams felt they had a left tackle for the next decade. He couldn't get out of his own way. And the Rams ended up cutting him. Yet they have one of the great players of all time in Aaron Donald, who had they not had two first-round picks that year and not been able to take the tackle that they absolutely felt they needed to have, with number two at number 13, they were going to take an offensive lineman. They weren't going to draft Aaron Donald. That's how big their need was on the offensive line. But again, it's not always going to work out. So you want to focus on Clelin Ferrell, that's fine. But the rest of that 2019 class, for the most part, has been pretty darn good. And I like what I see of this 2021 draft class. Nate Hobbs, to me, has not played like a rookie, not one second of his time yet in the NFL. I think Trayvon Morig keeps ascending. Alex Leatherwood has gotten a lot better at guard. We'll see. Was that a reach? Maybe. Maybe it was a reach. But if he turns out to be a good, solid player, very good, solid player or player for them on the offensive line, it worked out. Mike Mayock mentioned Malcolm Kuntz. He mentioned Tyree Gillespie. Guys that are you know, kind of developing right now. Not everyone's going to be a hit as a rookie. A lot of guys take quote-unquote redshirt years or just special team years as they're learning and making that transition to the NFL. I like where the 2021 draft class is headed. I say all that to get back to the point I was trying to make earlier, and that is the conversation that I had with Mike Mayock at the Senior Bowl and some of the concessions that he had made in terms of the mistakes that were made in the 2020 class. I'm not going to blame it on COVID-19. I'm not going to blame it on how that disrupted the draft process, the evaluation process, the ability to meet face-to-face with players, bring them into your building, get a better feel for them, talk to them one-on-one, get out to campus to really take a look at guys, and talk to everyone that knows them on campus. That all of that was not available for the most part in 2020. But I'm not going to blame it on that. Why? Because every team had to go through that. Every single team had to deal with the same set of circumstances. So that, to me, is an invalid excuse. I'm glad that Mike Mayock, when presented with the opportunity to use it as an excuse, said no, it had nothing to do with it. They just overthought the situation. They overthought the situation with Damon Arnett. Not overthought the situation. I think they overthought it in a couple of cases, tried to get a little bit too cute with the Tanner Muses and the Lynn Bowden Juniors. But Damon Arnett, they convinced themselves we're going to be a great place for him to take that, you know, those next steps in terms of the maturity. We feel like we got a pretty good handle on who he is, what he's dealt with, some of the issues that he's had off the field. We feel they created a comfort level for themselves in their own heads that said it's going to be okay. And that's a lesson to be learned. Number one, dubious that Damon Arnette was a good enough talent to outweigh some of those concerns that the Raiders had. And obviously the Raiders did have those concerns. He's a guy that if he's there for you in the second round, you may take the chance. If he's there for you in the third round, maybe you take that chance, but not in the first round. When you hear Mike Mayock even talking about all the time that they spent looking into him, why is that a little bit different than everybody else? Because obviously they had some concerns. Obviously they had some concerns about some of the core issues, character issues, things like that. So they put extra time into him, and it created a little bit of a false sense of security. I'm not going to put Henry Ruggs into that situation. I don't think Henry Ruggs is the same. Is the same situation as a Damon Arnette. Henry Ruggs by the way, was turning into a really good player and an important player. So there was a very good, strong likelihood that that was going to turn out to be a major hit for the Raiders. But obviously it didn't. We all know why. But I'm not going to put him in the same category as Damon Arnette. Those are two completely different situations. We talked about Lynn Bowden trying to draft a player and change positions, especially in a year where there was not going to be any off-season program or OTAs. Just a bad decision to make that take that sort of a chance. Mike Mayock has been clear about that. Tanner Muse, kind of the same situation. Now, he got hurt. That wasn't anybody's real fault, but maybe that's, again, not the year to draft a college linebacker and move him to safety. The key now for Mike Mayock, who I believe still deserves to keep his job, because when you look at the 21 class, you look at the 2020 class, the 2019 class, you look at this free agency class, bringing in Casey Hayward, bringing in Yannick Ngakoue, bringing in, trading for Denzel Perryman, bringing in KJ Wright, Quinton Jefferson, Solomon Thomas. There's a lot to like about the moves that have been made in 2021. There's a lot to like about that draft class in 2019. If you just want to focus on the bad, then you have every right to do that. He's not going to, Mike Mayock's not going to hate you for that or get mad. I mean, it is what it is. But if you look at the whole picture, it's still a lot of hits as well. And I think the 2021 class is going to yield, even more assets as time goes on. I like hearing what he said about Malcolm Kuntz, about how he's going to get more of an opportunity here, it sounds like. But again, the key is if you make mistakes, just don't repeat them. Learn from them. And I feel like if you look at this 2021 class compared to what they did last year, it's more along the lines of what they did in 2019. Good in 2019. It looks pretty darn good from where we sit right now in 2021. It's horrible in 2020. They made great decisions in 2019 for the most part. Yes, Clee Farrell hasn't worked out. No doubt about it. They made bad decisions in 2020. They've rebounded with good decisions in 2021. And I'd like to see what Mike Mayock, now having three drafts under his belt. Remember, this is a general manager that just became a general manager in 2019. So he's had three draft classes, two that have looked pretty darn good. One that's just, it is what it is. But I think that he, again, learned a big lesson. And I don't think he's the type of guy that's going to repeat the same mistakes that they made in 2020. And Mike Mayock will never say this because this is the kind of person that he is. But there was somebody else that was there making those decisions with them for the same reasons that they were good decisions in 2019 and 2021. John Gruden deserves credit. And I believe that John Gruden deserves some blame, obviously, for what happened in 2020. It just was not a very good draft. And the Raiders are paying a price for it. But a lot of it is perception as well. People are just going to focus on the bad, and there's a lot to focus on in that regard when it comes to 2020. But don't also overlook the good that's happened as well. And for those reasons, if I'm in charge. I think Mike Mayock deserves to come back, you know, and continue the work that he's put in. And I'd be interested to see how that work looks, you know, with him basically now having, as Mike, as Mark Davis indicated, the basically the final say on personnel decisions. I don't think that that's going to go to Mike Mayock's head. I don't think he rolls that way. I think he's somebody, as we've seen, especially with those moves that were made on defense, is going to lean heavily on his coaching staff for them to kind of lead the way and guide the way in terms of what it is that they're looking for in their players, in their scheme. And I think you saw that with some of the draft picks that they've made and some of the free agency pickups that they've made. I'd like to see that continue, you know, as well. So we'll see. It's been a tough week, no doubt about it, for the Raiders. And, you know, David Arnett is just a a scar right now. If you saw that video, it was disgusting. There's no other way to put it. And he needs to look at himself in the mirror and decide, is football a priority or are other things a priority? He seems like somebody that kind of wants to be one way. And that's fine if that's what you want to do, but go do it on somebody else's dime is what the Raiders are saying. It's not going to happen here. I hope for his sake, because he does have talent. I go back to training camp last year when he was healthy and he was, you know, given a chance to start for the Raiders. I just remember the player that I was watching in training camp going, this guy's got some skills. There's no doubt about it. If he can get his head straight and get his priorities straight, he has a chance to be a good football player. And I also, it'd be curious, and maybe Damon, I don't know if you know, maybe when we get back, do we know what the timeline was on that video? If we could get that checked out on exactly when that happened, was it recently? Was it last year, months ago? I'd like to know what the timeline of that video was, because from people that I was talking to, he was kind of moving in the right direction in terms of the maturity, but I don't know. Maybe he either had a lapse, or maybe that was a video from a while ago. Either way, it's not acceptable. You're in the huddle with Vinny Bonsignore, brought to you by Tequila Embajador, Raider Nation Radio, 920 AM on a Monday.
Interact with the show. Text Vinny at 69187 or tweet at him at Vinny Bonsignore. This is In the Huddle with Raiders beat writer Vinny Bonsignore on Raider Nation Radio, 920 AM.
Yeah, there was significant concern, and most of the teams around the league were very aware of it. We spent an awful lot of time trying to understand his behavior, and really what kind of tilted everything in the direction of, okay, let's go ahead and draft him, was we knew that coaching staff pretty well. We knew what they had asked him to do his last year at Ohio State. They felt very strongly that they knew who we had on our staff and that we'd be able to work with this young man and not only help him on the football field, but help him in his life. And, you know, obviously in hindsight, we weren't able to do it. And I know people were, a lot of people, including myself, we were all concerned about this. But we, at the time, we thought it was an acceptable risk. And obviously it's painful on all levels.
That's Mike Mayock, the Raiders general manager, talking today about the release of Damon Arnett. You're in the huddle with Vinny Bonsignore, brought to you by Tequila Embajador, Raider Nation Radio, 920 AM on a Monday. I'm going to give Mike Mayock a lot of credit here because there's a lot of people who would say, no, you know, we didn't see any of the red flags, and try to excuse it and just kind of sweep it under the rug and just say, you know, Damon Arnett turned out to be a bad guy and we can't tolerate that, but, you know, we didn't see anything. Mike Mayock did anything but. He was completely forthcoming. Was it a mistake? Obviously, in retrospect, it was a major mistake, and that's something that the Raiders need to learn from. Mike Mayock needs to learn from that. Sometimes when somebody shows you who they are, just believe them the first time. That's an old saying and an old quote, but it oftentimes turns out to be very true. And you can be as noble as you want to be, thinking that you're going to be able to help save somebody from themselves and their life and turn them around, and your culture is going to fix them and it's going to get everything on the right track. Sometimes that does happen, but oftentimes there's people that just don't want to be helped. And they flame out. I've seen it so many times before. There's just so many cases of guys who had problems elsewhere, just not ever really heeding the advice or moving past that part of themselves. And it's sad and it's frustrating because there's a lot of talent that's been left out there on the table because guys just weren't willing to be as committed as they needed to be, as mature as they needed to be. But it happens all the time. And you sometimes, I'm not trying to, you know, defend Mike Mayock here. I'm just telling you the reality of the situation. I work for the Los Angeles Lakers and I worked side by side in the public relations department with a guy by the name of Jerry West, who was as astute a general manager as there was in the history of sports. And there were times when he got not duped, but you just create almost this false sense of, hey, our situation, our room, our locker room, our infrastructure, everything that we have in place here is going to help this guy become a better person. And sometimes it does. Not everybody shows up to the team on the NFL draft and reports a finished product. Not everyone is wartless or faultless or flawless. A lot of guys in life, whatever job we're talking about, but we're talking about professional sports here. A lot of guys show up to the scene with some baggage and some growing up that needs to happen. And you have to always weigh all of that, obviously, when you're investing the kind of money and commitment that you are in these guys. But even the best have been burnt before. And it just needs to be a lesson that you learn that you don't repeat it. You know, in retrospect, Damon Arnette should not have been on the Raiders' first round board whatsoever. I don't even think he should have been on their second round board. I don't think, as it turns out, the talent outweighed the risk and gamble that he represented. And
can I actually ask you a question here?
Yeah,
I've seen this thrown around where it's just like people were saying like he was consistent, like consistently he was like probably like the 60th prospect. He was like in the 60s, the 70s on most big boards. So of course,
big reach.
But is it okay then if you take the risk on a player? It's like, but this same player, fourth round or fifth round, then it's okay to draft him.
It happens all the time.
I feel like then it's like we're not looking at people as come up. Well, I know this is the business of football, but that's the problem where I have it is, y'all, you're not looking at these people as players or all that compassion that Derek Carr talked, which I do believe in.
Yeah.
I think that goes out the window for people who's just like, but our team could have saved like a couple million if we draft this same bad character player in the fourth round instead of the first.
It happens all the time. You think that draft boards are only predicated on talent? Everything is judged. Everything is assessed. It's not just talent. It's characters. It's injuries. There's times where a guy might, you know, if your doctors say he's a first round talent, but he might only be able to give you 5 years at tops. You know, so all right, not going to draft him in the first round, but in the third or fourth round, it's worth that risk at that point. You don't want to lose the first. I mean, you got to understand too. There's a lot of money involved in a first round pick. A lot of money that goes into a first round pick that doesn't exist in the fourth or fifth round. That's why guys fall. Devon, I've had conversations, text conversations with people during the draft in draft rooms, and they'll go, "He's not on our board." What? Yeah, he's not on our board at this point in the draft. Maybe later on in the draft, yeah, because the risk becomes mitigated. Then all of a sudden, the gamble is worth the draft status where you drafted him. It happens all the time, and that's just the way it is. So yeah, a guy like Damon Arnette, to me, when you add the fact that on most draft quote unquote boards, he was what'd you say, like in the 60s or so for most people, for most talent evaluators, the experts and whatnot. That made it even more of an egregious error. It's what we weren't talking about. The best cornerback in the draft or the top three cornerbacks in the draft by most estimations. Even in that case, you probably don't take the risk, but that happens a lot too, where the talent is just so overwhelming that you're hoping that you get it straightened out once the guy gets in your building. And then he turns out to be able to have his life in order in a way that lets that first round talent or that top three talent fulfill itself. So, but man, there's been so many times where teams have gotten burned in that false belief that they have in their coaching staff, in their system, in their culture, in their locker room, in their leadership, with the resources that they have in place to be able to bring somebody in that might have some baggage and be able to help them grow up and mature in the right way. It sounds great to think along those lines, and there are cases where it has worked out, but it's a dangerous game playing that, and I think the Raiders learned a really, really valuable lesson in that regard. To if you know, it's just not worth the risk. There's money involved. Think of it from this perspective. I know we don't want to look at guys as commodities, but I mean, that's where we're all a commodity on some level. I don't care where we work, you know. If we can do the job, then we're worth the pay. There's also people that do their job so well, I don't care what we're talking about, what vocation we're talking about, what job we're talking about, that might not be a nice person, that might be a headache, that might be a bad apple, that might be a divisive force in the workplace, in the office, and just create all kinds of drama. But gosh darn it, they sell. They're the best salesman in the office. How are we going to get rid of him? We'll deal with all, or her. How we'll deal with all the other stuff because he brings money and brings value to the company. It happens every day across every job in the world. So you know, I understand where you're coming from. You know that you don't want to look at the commodity, but you know, if you minimize the risk by drafting somebody in the fourth round who you wouldn't touch in the first round because of maybe some character issues, it's do the math. You're not tied in as much financially or as long, you know, under a contract in the fourth round as you are in the first round. And I would say that people would be shocked if they found out, if they were sitting in draft meetings and really looking at somebody's draft board and understanding who there's teams that just won't touch people because of the character issues. I would venture to say that Damon Arnett probably wasn't on everybody's draft board, period, because of things that were going on. There's teams that just flat out won't take that risk at any point in the draft because of you know, what might have been happening, you know, when he was at Ohio State. I understand where Mike's coming from, Mike Mayock, in terms of the confidence and the relationship that they had with the Ohio State coaches. I mean, you're relying on them to give it to you straight, and I'm sure they were. Remember, Damon Arnett wanted to come out his junior year, but a lot of people talked to him about, you're not ready to go to the NFL right now. And he came back his senior year and, you know, by some accounts, I should say, to some extent, I should say, was a more mature player. And he played better, number one. He played better on the field. And he was also, by some accounts, just a better person and a more mature person. And so maybe that also created a little bit of a false sense of security. You know, the Ohio State coaches are telling the Raiders, hey, he really turned a corner this year in terms of all that. You know, we feel good that he's on the right track. But as it turns out, you know, he wasn't. And it's unfortunate. It's more unfortunate for Damon Arnett because he just wasted a wonderful opportunity to really be a professional football player. The talent is there. The talent is absolutely there. Was he the best cornerback in the draft? No. But is he an NFL cornerback if he gets everything else in order? I believe he is, you know, most definitely. So it's just a mistake that the Raiders have to live with. Here's what, you know, the biggest issue of all for the Raiders. Now, you know, you go back a year and a half ago, and the Raiders felt like they had their cornerback position solidified and wide receiver solidified. You had Henry Ruggs, Hunter Renfro, Bryan Edwards, Darren Waller. That's a unit that you felt good with going into the future. Now they got to replace Henry Ruggs. Now they got to look to the draft probably, or free agency, to go replace a wide receiver that they didn't think that they were going to have to replace. When you draft a cornerback as high as they did, you don't think that in 2 years you're going to have to go find his replacement. That's not where your thought process is. But now the Raiders have to look at finding another wide receiver and another cornerback. Now, maybe you bring back Casey Hayward for another year. We'll see how that goes. I like Trayvon Mullen, and I think that when healthy, he's you know, a good player. Maybe you move Nate Hobbs back to the outside next year, although he's been so valuable as a slot cornerback. Maybe you just keep him right there and go on the free agency market to go find another cornerback or the draft. But that's that. When you miss on those first round picks like that, and don't have, you know, an in-house replacement, that means you got to start the process all over again about going to find somebody. Now, the Raiders, when we talk about Clelee Ferrell, is he the player that they thought he was going to be? Nope, absolutely not. But the good news is they got Max Crosby, who is. And he's basically what they, I guess, what they were hoping Clelee Ferrell would be. You got a dynamic player in Max Crosby, alongside now a dynamic defensive end in Yannick Ngakoue. By the way, how good is he playing lately? He was just a force on the football field yesterday. So you're good at that position, defensive end, in spite of the miss on Clelee Ferrell. But wide receiver, they went out and got, and signed DeSean Jackson. I would imagine next year they go and draft another wide receiver, depending on where it is. I don't know where that would be in the draft. There's also a free agent to be by the name of Davante Adams, who, oh, by the way, happens to be really good friends with Derek Carr. Maybe that's the direction that the Raiders go in next year. That wouldn't be a bad option right there. But it just shows you how important the draft process is. And it just shows you the importance of, you know, when the red flags come up, they're there for a reason, and you know, maybe you should stay away as a result. And I think that's the lesson that Mike Mayock learned. And again, I go back to that conversation that we had in January, and then he alluded to it a few more times in talks with the media about the mistakes that happened in the 2020 draft. And unfortunately, you know, we're seeing those in real time. Damon Arnett's cut, you know. Tanner Muse is no longer with the team. Lynn Bowden Jr. didn't even get out of training camp before he was traded. Amik Robertson hasn't, he's been given opportunities. He hasn't been able to seize those opportunities. He's been on the inactive list, I think, the last three games now, replaced by a practice squad cornerback that the Raiders signed late in the game. That's taken his spot. And then they went out and got Trufant. Who also is now on the roster. So it doesn't look real good for Amik Robertson right now. We'll see if he's able to rebound and become the player that the Raiders had hoped. But that 2020 draft class, am I missing anybody? Bryan Edwards, you know, I would say the jury's still out on Bryan Edwards. I think that he's got a future. He had a rough day yesterday, no doubt. He got covered yesterday. There was good coverage by the Giants. He needed to figure something out in that regard. John Simpson, you know, he's a okay guard right now. Was he drafted in the fourth round? You know, that's you hope that he develops, the Raiders do, into a better player as the future goes on. No guarantees that that's going to happen. So yeah, the 2020 draft class, is there's no getting around it. It was just a swing and a miss, and it's just a bad situation. But I will say, Mike Mayock and John Gruden, because he was there in 2019, I thought did a good job. That's really is the foundation of the team. And you got to throw in A.J. Cole, a great punter that they were able to get as an undrafted free agent. Alec Ingold, by the way, shout out to Alec Ingold for the hurdle that he did yesterday. So good play by the Raiders fullback. The 2019 draft class has a miss. We all know who that miss is. But by and large, that's been a good, solid draft, a very good draft for the Raiders. And it looks like 2021 is shaping up to be pretty good, too. But we shall see. You're in the huddle with Vinny Bonsignor, brought to you by Tequila Embajador, Raider Nation Radio, 920 a.m. on a Monday.
Interact with the show. Text Vinny at 69187 or tweet at him at Vinny Bonsignor. This is In the Huddle with Raiders beat writer Vinny Bonsignor on Raider Nation Radio 920 AM.
So having a off air conversation with Damon. Damon, are you still there?
Of course.
So yeah, and what we were talking about, and it's a valid question. You know, everywhere you look in life, every office, every job, it always comes down to does your talent and production outweigh whatever hassle you might be in some other ways. You know, whether it's, you know, whatever the case, however you want to define a hassle or a headache or a bad apple, it always comes down to that. I don't know any job in any place in the world where that isn't the key to everything. Or if you're productive, does it outweigh the hassle you might be? Now, hopefully you're not a hassle, but there are people that are just hassles. They're bad human beings, or they're bad apples, or they're divisive forces. But if they could get the job done at a high level, people tolerate them. And once that talent, once that production dips, then it becomes a whole different story, Damon. So I don't think football is any different than anything else in this world, or sports for that matter.
Yeah, it's not that you're wrong about that at all, because obviously, you know, and I think people were speaking into this last week, obviously with the accent as well, where they don't want to see someone with means get off easy. And that's, but I feel like it's different where Derek Carr, where he said, hey, somebody's going to love him, I'm going to love him. And it's like, I just want to see that same empathy applied across the board, no matter the talent of a player. And yeah, I know it's like, that's too much to ask for. But is it too much? For me, it's why is
no,
that too much?
I think some of Derek Carr's probably best friends that he, you know, I can't say this for sure, but I would imagine some of his best friends in life that he's played with weren't necessarily the best players, you know, or the you know what I'm saying? Like he always talks about Zay Jones. Zay Jones hasn't really done much of anything, you know, and yet he's the guy that's always at his house. He's the guy that's always hanging out with them and going to practice and working out together. And he always speaks really highly.
Just because he's not that good of a player doesn't mean that he can't be friends with him.
Well, I thought that's what you were saying.
No,
like if Henry has proven to those guys in the locker room that he deserves support and love in spite of everything that's happened, then he's earned that. Now, some guys don't. So there's some guys are just, I mean, you show up to work. I don't know about your job right now, but you've probably had classmates. You've probably had coworkers that you didn't want anything to do with. You know what I'm saying? Like straight up, you didn't want to have anything to do with beyond the 8 hours a day that you had to deal with them, right? But not everybody's in that category. There's guys that you just love, that you become really good friends with and really close with. I think that's who... You know, and I think Henry is one of those kind of guys. That's what I'm saying. Like, I think Henry is one of those types of guys. I don't know about Damon. I don't know. So we'll have to maybe try to figure that one out. But I guess that's where I'm coming from. Like you know, there's guys that have made such a mark in their time in the locker room or their job or whatever. Where, man, you know, I'm still going to support that dude. There's other guys who are like, don't let the door hit you on the way out, right?
No, that's very true. I just for me personally, like, I just want to go back to, it's so quick to give up on these guys, but it's just, oh, yeah. Man, if that's all it takes to, for you to value them as a person is their production, then how good of a person are you to begin with?
Yeah, well, true. But, I mean, that doesn't mean I get what you're saying. But, you know, at the end of the day, where you work is also different than, you know, your off time. So I don't care what it is that you do, you have to produce. And if you produce, you can probably get away with a little bit more. We all know that that's the case. Than when you don't produce. So you, and I'm only talking about the bad apples. Like, Like, if you could be the greatest person in the world and still not be good at your job, and you're still going to get fired because you can't get the job done, that doesn't mean I hate you. That doesn't mean that we can't be friends or whatever, or I don't support you in your other endeavors as you move on down the road. You just couldn't get the job done here, you know, and that's the reality of the situation. But there are also cases where people are just so good at what they do that others will accept some of the flaws that they have, and maybe, you know, the negative stuff that they bring to the table. That happens all the time, unfortunately. But, you know, you're in the business of making money. If you're Google or whatever the case might be, that's what you're trying to do. You're trying to make money, and sometimes you have to like set aside some things because that person is doing their job at such a high level. That happens all the time. Football, business, sales, Wall Street, you know, politics. It happens all the time. You don't like that. I don't like it. I like people that are cool. Like Damon, I don't know about you, but I've had people that when they walked in the office, my whole day changed. They were great at what they did, and I was in no position to fire them or anything like that. But I do know that it just changed my day when that person walked into the office, because now here we go again, another 8 hours of just having to deal with that. And the only reason that person stayed at that job was because that person was really good at their job. So that's the way life is sometimes. And that's the way it goes sometimes in football. Now, I think the Raiders had some noble objectives and goals and hopes with Damon Arnett. And that's why they drafted him, thinking that they were going to be able to get him in a good place in his life for that talent, that there is talent there, for that talent to flourish. But it didn't line up, unfortunately. And then this video surfaced, and I think that their hands were pretty much tied, the Raiders, especially with coming off what happened last week. So you live and you learn, and hopefully the Raiders and Mike Mayock learned from that mistake. I think he did, because I think, again, going back to the conversation that I had with him in January, he knew that there were some mistakes that were made in 2020 that he was not going to repeat again moving forward. And I don't think I think this 2021 class so far anyway looks to be a good rebound. I want to say thank you to Cassie Soto, our great guest. Look forward to hearing her tomorrow on Q's show, as always. Damon Cotton, thanks for everything that you do. Q, I hope you're having a great time over at the OYO. Good to see you out and about. Can't wait to get over there and check that out one Monday. Want to say thanks to all our callers. Really appreciate it. We're back at it tomorrow, 4 to 6 p.m. in the huddle. Vinny Bonsignor and Lincoln Kennedy will be back with us. Brought to you by Tequila and Bajo, Raider Nation Radio, 920 a.m. on a Monday. Talk to you guys tomorrow. Hey guys, it's Vinny B. Raider Nation in the Huddle is all about giving our fans the best opportunities in life. TAT is a new product that allows smokers to enjoy the sensations of smoking with zero tobacco and zero nicotine content. Finally, a cigarette you could feel good about, similar to Raider Nation rituals of winning championships. TAT offers the beyond nicotine experience with its beyond tobacco-based material in taste, smell, touch, sight, and sound without nicotine or tobacco. TAT offers a better option to completely remove nicotine intake without compromising the smoking experience. TAT. Beyond Tobacco. Raider Nation, get your free pack of TAT today at TriTAT.com.